Evening.
One of the dearest ambitions, I think, of most children is to have Christmas throughout the year. Well, in that Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, in a church that practices the historic church year, that celebrates the festivals of the church year as we go through, we do have Christmas throughout the year. Tonight we get another taste of Christmas, the presentation of our Lord, the purification of Mary, the great song of Simeon as he holds the Christ child high above his head. And then we have the visitation, we have the annunciation, we have these festivals throughout the year, a little taste of Christmas all throughout the year. And why not? Because Christmas, of course, celebrates the wonderful gift, the miracle for our salvation, the Word made flesh, God become man for our salvation. Our opening hymn this night is on your bulletin insert. Hopefully everyone received one as you came in. It is your sheet, but it says 207 on it. To your temple, Lord, I come. Our order of worship tonight will be the order of Vespers, as found on page 229. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate your incarnation, that you took on human flesh, were born of a virgin to walk the road of the cross, to give up your life for our salvation. We beg you, O Lord, as we look to your cross, your empty tomb, as we look to your manger, as we look to Simeon's arms, that we would rejoice in the great and glorious mystery that you became man. We ask you, O Lord, that as you have become man, that you would continue to come to us, your word, your holy and precious body and blood in the supper, and that you would come again as true man and true God on the last day to raise us up to live before you, body and soul, forevermore. In your name we pray. Amen. Opening hymn. To your temple, Lord, I come.
Oh,
order of worship, the order of Vespers, page 229. In this time of pre-Lent, we use the Lenten responsories. We stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. To the words of the introit as printed on your bulletin insert, we chant them together.
Thank you.
reading from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the words of our gradual as printed on our bulletin insert. Great is the Lord, and greatly
to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts. You have fought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. I put my trust, for leave me not, O Lord my God. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The author of the book of Hebrews, whoever he may have been, was certainly a man of profound insight, wisdom, and understanding. Especially as insight, wisdom, and understanding relates to the goings-on at the tabernacle and the temple. For whatever would confuse us, as people living in the 21st century who often don't know how to put together the temple sacrifices and the Old Testament law with the rest of the Bible, the author of the book of Hebrews makes quite clear. Ultimately, the laws that were given to the people of Israel in the Old Testament pointed forward to and were fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in our gospel reading for this evening, we see that our Lord Jesus is subjected to the law of Moses. Indeed, he participates in and fulfills this law of Moses, and we should probably just say he fulfills it by participating in it. He has already been circumcised at 8 days old, and something like 40 days later, he's now brought to the temple by his parents to have his life redeemed by the death of two birds. Now, it's gospel readings like this that often cause us to scratch our heads and ask, what the heck does Jesus need to go to the temple to be redeemed for anyway? What is he being redeemed from? Why does his life need to be redeemed by the death of two birds? And that's precisely the point. The question gets at the absurdity of thinking that Jesus is ultimately doing these things for his own sake. He's not. He's doing all of these things, fulfilling the law on your behalf. Now, the presentation of our Lord, among other things, serves the purpose of revealing the pathetic state of man under the oppressive hand of sin. Any Christian who suggests or asserts that he can save himself by mustering up his own will by making a decision for Jesus, or any Christian that suggests or asserts he can save himself by living a good life here in time, has not properly meditated on the fact that Jesus begins his redemptive work as early as his conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And indeed here, when he's brought to the temple, even against his own volition, that is passively by Mary and Joseph, he is fulfilling the law of God for the sake of mankind. The fact that Jesus begins his work of redemption before he can even feed or dress himself points out just how hopeless we are in saving ourselves. Indeed, if a baby can do nothing else than eat and fill his diaper, which I assure you is the case, then we are much worse off as sinful human beings. Now, why were the people of Israel bringing their firstborn sons to the temple to be presented in the first place? Well, it was done in accord with the word of God that he gave in Exodus chapter 13. Therein, he commanded that the firstborn who opens the womb of the mother is to be presented, and he does this really for two reasons. On the one hand, in presenting the firstborn son, the people of Israel are to recall the strict judgment of the Lord against the Egyptians. For this happens in parallel times with the tenth plague, when the angel of death goes through the households of the people of Egypt and takes the life of all the firstborn. But the people of Israel, in the presentation of their firstborn son, were also to recall the steadfast love and gracious mercy of our Lord, who, while taking the life of the firstborn of the households of Egypt, spared the firstborn in the house of his people Israel, as they painted the blood of the Passover lamb above the doorposts. So too, when the church hears this reading during the presentation of our Lord, is to remember these two things: the strict judgment of God against the sins of mankind, but also His steadfast love and mercy for the sake of our Passover Lamb, our presented Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus' life is not filled with arbitrary events, that is to say, meaningless events. Everything He does from His conception to His death and resurrection, He does on behalf of sinful humanity. And here He is in His presentation, revealing our absolute dependence on God for our cleansing, redemption, and salvation. Because it's true that we often wallow in our sin as a pig wallows in the mud. And as a dog returns to her vomit, often we return to our sin and shame. Indeed, we were conceived and born in sin. And by virtue of this fact, we were ripe for condemnation and everlasting torment. But Jesus begins His work of redemption in the most pathetic and passive and really foolish of ways. He begins His work of redemption as a baby. So if any one of us is tempted to think that we can save ourselves, we must blush for shame, because Jesus reveals that in His presentation as a baby, He has to live a perfect life for us under the law as a baby. We cannot save ourselves. And He does this for both young and old. It matters not whether you're middle-aged or 5 days old, you cannot save yourself. And the fact that Jesus begins this redeeming work as a baby bears that fact out clear enough. But the presentation of our Lord also shows His great love for humanity. For it is only one who shares in the flesh and blood of mankind who is to be presented at the temple, and the firstborn son to open the womb at that. And here we have the second person of the Holy Trinity, that is God Himself, taking on your flesh and blood and being presented at the temple in your place. That is fulfilling the law of Moses for you. 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard meditates upon the incarnation of our Lord, that is when He takes on human flesh and blood. And he has this to say: in the fullness of time, Jesus united Himself personally to a true human nature and deigned to be born of a virgin. How great is the mystery of godliness that He, being true God, desired to become manifest in your flesh. How great is His mercy that descending from heaven for your sake, He endured being born of a virgin. For you, most worthless creatures, He, the all-powerful Creator, became man. For your sake, slaves to sin, He, the glorious Lord, clothed Himself in servile fashion with a body, so that with His flesh He might free your flesh. For you He was born. For you He was presented. Therefore, whatever heavenly goods He brings with Him in His birth, and indeed whatever heavenly gifts He brings with Him in His presentation in the temple, are and will be yours. Now, this mystery this heavenly mystery, that our Lord Jesus Christ took on your flesh and blood, becoming the perfect propitiation, that is, sacrifice for sins, is what causes Simeon to take him up in his hands and sing the Nunc Dimittis in the temple. He held in his hands the salvation prepared for the people. He held in his hands the light that would enlighten the heathen. He held in his hands the Lord. And Simeon, as well as all of you, looked to Jesus, who assumed into the unity of his person that which was tarnished and stained in the fall and by the devil. He became your flesh and blood. He became bone of your bone. And now he denies you no good thing, because he has become like you in every respect except sin. And he has become a faithful and merciful High Priest in the service of God for your sake. And having been baptized in the washing of water with the Word, you have received what the firstborn son enjoys, that is, the inheritance of his Father. And in the sake of Christians, that inheritance is the Sabbath rest that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we rest from our labors, having been delivered from the law's demands that stood against us. In his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed and presented you to the Father in heaven. He has become the perfect sacrifice for sin, the God-man, who has fulfilled all things in his presentation and in his death and resurrection that is needed for everlasting life. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Congregation stands and we sing the Magnificat, page 231.
once again in the name of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pat at the end of each pew. If you would please sign and pass. And if a guest or a visitor, if you would please provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us in worship this evening. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings. Stand for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie, page 233. Almighty, ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend especially Nancy, Lois, Lorraine, and the family of Harold Mishnick. We pray for them and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, Thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We will remain standing for our closing hymn, number 937. 937. A little taste of Christmas, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, who went to the temple, who went to the cross, rose again for us and our salvation. As you may have heard, we had a little bit of snow yesterday. And apparently Lincoln Public Schools thought that we were in Grand Island or something today. And so, in fact, if we're in Grand Island, we'll be digging out next Tuesday or something. Because of the snow, of course, we didn't have confirmation tonight. We also had to cancel our pancake feed. Not cancel, but postpone. Our pancake feed was supposed to be last night from 5 till 8. It will be next Tuesday night, the 9th, right here, same place, same schedule, everything like that. Once again, 5 to 8, next Tuesday night, the 9th of February. So please spread the word around. I know we got it in the various media outlets and passed around the congregational email and all that kind of stuff. But definitely be sure to spread the word that the pancake feed is on for next Tuesday night. Also, tomorrow we won't be digging out snow. We'll be studying Job in Life Light study tomorrow at 1 o'clock in room 109. That'll be our second week in the book of Job. I don't know if I can think of any other announcements, Vicar. Do you have any other? Bible study tonight, right after worship, right after we are done here. And what are we studying tonight, Vicar?
The raising of Lazarus.
I think I've heard of it. Wonderful, wonderful miracle, wonderful testimony of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With that, the Lord be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you this day, this week. God's blessings.
Amen.